People's Guide to the Cthulhu Mythos is brought to you by FoundItemClothing.com. Check out their Cthulhu slippers and cool cult film t-shirts. Edited and produced by D.B. Spitzer. Featuring Sarah Fee and D.B. Spitzer. Music by Kevin MacLeod. PGTTCM is part of the Dark Mists Network. Check out all the cool podcasts that we like at darkmyths.org. Subscribe where you subscribe. Like where you like. Rate where you rate. We recommend podbean.com and Apple Podcasts as well. Find PGTTCM on social media at PGTTCM and on YouTube at People's Guide to the Cthulhu Mythos. If you want to donate, go to the Patreon button on pgttcm.podbean.com or paypal.me/pgttcm. All donations receive an on-air congratulations. Shop at pgttcm.threadless.com or pgttcm.com at the shop. PGTTCM is an exploration of the Cthulhu mythos, weird fiction, the gothic literary tradition, classic sci-fi, fantasy, and horror. Thank you. On with the show.
806. Description of a partial headless body. 6 feet end to end, 3 5/10 feet central diameter, tapering to 1 foot at each end. Like a barrel with 5 bulging ridges in places of staves. Lateral breakages, as if thinner stalks, are at equator in middle of these ridges. The furrows between ridges are curious growths, combs or wings that fold up and spread out like fans, which gives almost 7-foot wingspread. Arrangement reminds me of certain monsters of primal myth, especially fabled elder things in the Necronomicon. H.P. Lovecraft, ever hear the guy at the Mountains of Madness?
Episode 806.
The Elder Things. I'm so excited to be recording again.
Yeah, me too. It's nice to be with have the mics out and sitting down and recording and
Well, and like 3 weeks ago or 2 weeks ago, we were planning on doing like a hard burn of recording.
Yeah, no, we were gonna record like I have like I don't know at least 8-10 scripts in the hopper ready to go and. Yeah, no, we were going to record them all
and then have them to release through the new year and probably into February.
Yeah.
But instead...
Instead, I had to get my gallbladder removed.
Yeah, so we've had a bit of a hiatus from recording.
Yeah, yeah. Luckily, we've had some stories going on, so we'll talk about that in the next recording, which you know, hopefully we'll get to record in the next week or so, barring any major catastrophes.
But Well, school's going to be out in 2 weeks for winter break, which should give me some more flexibility in my schedule, although less free time.
Sure, sure. All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. Well, we'll try and get the shows out as fast as possible, but I was in the hospital for a while. I got my gallbladder removed. It felt like someone dropped a bowling ball on my side from several feet up. I was in a lot of pain.
Yeah, you were.
Yeah, it wasn't much fun. And people are like, oh, but you got drugs. And I was like, yeah, I got drugs.
You
but
need them. It's not fun.
Still, it hurts. It hurts, especially when it's like one drug's wearing off and the other one hasn't kicked in yet. You're like, I don't want to call the nurse because then she's going to think I'm a junkie, says anxiety-ridden D.B. Spitzer at 4 o'clock in the morning in a hospital.
When you just had surgery, nobody's like, I think this one's a drug seeker.
Yeah, I know, but... I don't know. I have weird anxieties about, like, people thinking that I'm, like, some sort of, like, drug seeker or... And that mixed with, like, I don't know, opioid epidemic and,
totally.
I don't know, stories of World War I soldiers addicted to morphine.
Well, it is something to think about because, you know, like, you had major surgery and then they gave you, like, I think it was 15 pain pills.
Yeah.
15. And they were like, take them every 4 hours.
Yeah.
You know? And that was it. Yeah. There was no discussion of, like, a refill or anything.
Oh, no, 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 no. And it worked perfect for me.
Yeah.
And, yeah, no. Then just aspirin and Tylenol. Not aspirin and Tylenol.
Tylenol
ibuprofen.
And ibuprofen, yeah.
Yeah. A regimen of that, tapering off. And now I can lift 20 pounds.
Ooh.
Yeah.
What are you going to lift first?
Oh, I don't know. Probably dishes. Dishes and laundry that have been piling up around me.
Mm-hmm. Are you excited to carry your own laundry basket and everything?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's going to be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. But something that I'm going to be talking about later is something I have been doing is playing a lot of Fallout 76.
Oh, yeah.
And I recorded some audio during beta testing, and it was supposed to come out the day before Fallout 76
right.
dropped.
But instead, we had to go to the hospital.
But instead, yeah, I had to go to the hospital. So
when life gives you lemons, wait and release your audio later.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So when you hear this audio, know that it was written long before all the bad reviews of Fallout 76 came out, mm-hmm. which I am not in that boat. I still am not in that boat. I'm having a lot of fun playing Fallout mm-hmm. 76, and I've listened to people's complaints, mm-hmm. and it's like they skipped the introduction parts on how to play the game and how to not die of natural cause, you know, like
over
how to
and over again.
How to make water without uh-huh. getting irradiated, how to make food, how to get food without being irradiated, and how you need to eat and drink to, you know, not yeah. die. And they're like, it's a soulless game. It's like you just can't run around and like goof off. It's you know, it's like,
well, I mean I don't want to interrupt here.
Yeah, sure.
What you were telling me about it is that you really like Fallout 4.
Yes.
And you think in some ways it's a better game.
Yes.
But on the other hand, one of the things about Fallout 76 is that it's actually a different style of game, being as
totally.
How it's an online massive
yeah.
MMO. Are we calling it an MMO?
Yeah, we'll call it an MMO.
Okay, yeah, so shorthand, it's uh-huh. an MMO.
Yeah.
And that's different than playing by yourself.
Totally,
just
totally.
Like,
even though I do play by myself, but I interact with people mm-hmm. once in a while. It's like, oh, hey, I've got a bunch of ammo I don't need, and you're really low level. Let me be a cool guy. Here's some stuff.
You were telling me that funny story about when you were playing at like 3 a.m. one night, and you got the 10 cap bounty on you, and then you were trying to get shot.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And everyone was too low level to... I had a 10-cap bounty on me because I was trying to pick the lock on someone's water purifier. I didn't realize that would, like, you know, get a 10-cap bounty on me. So I was like, oh, man. And then I just went to a public area where, you know, people spawn in all the time and just hoping. And everyone who came by was, like, way too low of level. So then I went to another area hoping that there'd be, like, higher-level people. Mm-hmm. And when you're wanted, you can't see where people are at, so you can't go hunting or something like that.
But and you also couldn't, like, tell these people what you wanted.
No, because there was a language barrier.
Yeah, even if they had a microphone.
Yeah.
Because it was 3 a.m.
So, yeah. Somewhere in Asia. And anyway, so I'm like, you know, not dressed scary or anything like that. And I'm like, hey, I need you to kill me. And I'm like helping these people out by like shooting their bad guys for them.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm like, oh man. And I thought about it later. I'm like, these low level people just are like, oh Jesus, high level wanted guys just kill stealing from me.
Wasn't there also something where you realized that if you were in a group, you'd get bigger monsters spawning?
Yeah, yeah. But I still haven't, like, been able to find groups of people that are around the same level that I am
mm-hmm.
and stuff. So it hasn't been advantageous for me to, like, join up with groups. But mm-hmm. at some point in time, I plan on joining up with groups after the holiday rush and...
Yeah, I mean, because a lot of people will be getting this game for the holidays,
yeah,
probably.
Yeah, because the price keeps dropping because of the bad reviews.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So keep it up.
Yeah.
It's actually kind of... So what I was really hearing from you is that while some of the reviews are in some ways accurate and that it's not as good as Fallout 4,
yeah.
that doesn't mean that it doesn't have some entertainment value.
Well, it's not as good as... It's not as good as Fallout 4. People are just like, oh, it's just a rehashing of Fallout 4. They use so many of the same assets,
mm-hmm.
and I'm rebuying assets from, like, DLCs and stuff like that that I see.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, yeah, they use all of the assets from Fallout 4 and the DLCs, but you're buying it all at once, And it's a new game. It's a larger game. It's going to have stuff constantly added to it. And it's going to get updates.
That's right. It's going to keep expanding,
It's going to keep expanding. You're going to get stuff. And, yeah, I would like to really see it go on in the future.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't mind paying my PlayStation Plus membership fee. I bet other people get to play it free or whatever, wherever they're doing it. But I don't know. I don't know how it works for other things other than PlayStation. But I'm playing on PlayStation 4. So if you see PGTTCM and you're playing Fallout 76, I don't know.
Come and say hi.
Come and say hi. And if you put a microphone on and say, hey, I love the podcast. And we'll team up and, like, shoot Molman in the face.
Yeah. Also, you've been a bit of a philanthropist occasionally when you have to level up.
Yeah.
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 So
it's like, oh, I got to get rid of all this old gear and all the shops are out of money. So.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I learned a trick. Put stuff in storage and wait the next day, and then I can sell it in the shops instead of being like, oh, I got to go hunt for stuff to sell in shops.
Cool.
Yeah. Anyway, so, yeah.
Pre-planning, right?
Pre-planning. You know who didn't plan?
What?
The Elder Things.
Oh, yeah.
They planned. They planned pretty well, but just like
I don't know.
Planning for November, December.
You feel like there was a giant catastrophe for the Elder Things, and that's what happened?
Well, they created the Shoggoths, and the Shoggoths rebelled.
Yeah, no, yeah, for sure.
They created the Shoggoths.
And then the Shoggoths. Shoggoths, whatever.
Yeah.
Shoggoths rebelled, sure. But one of the things I read in the Mountains of Madness is that it seemed, I mean, man, those were some expressive murals.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, it seemed like the Elder Things went through, like, a cultural degeneration.
Yeah.
And so, therefore, that's why the Shoggoths were able to take over? Shoggoths?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because otherwise, they wouldn't have been able to do that, right?
True. Yeah. And here's something I'm just going to put out right now. Mm-hmm. What if the Elder Things didn't necessarily go through a cultural degeneration? They just went wireless, and the people who were interested in still recording through whatever expressive murals just weren't as classically trained as those prior to them. And as the time went on, the skill of however the murals were carved or prepared or whatever slowly became a dying art as people moved to other medias. But also,
I mean, in a really real way, I don't think that cultural degeneration is ever really an okay thing to think about, because cultural differences doesn't mean one's better than the other. It just means it's different.
It's changed.
Yeah, it's changed. And while I am always, like, personally on the side of more freedoms within a culture, I also think that freedom and responsibility go hand in hand.
I'm sure people from 100 years ago would look at how we dress and carry on and be like, this is a degenerated culture. They're dressing in potato sacks with stuff drawn on it and wearing dungarees everywhere.
Right. They would also contend that tights are not pants.
No.
Yeah. So, but one of the things that I was thinking about is how when in human history, we have had a part of us go to another place and set up its own culture, that culture is often considered lesser or not as rich or something. You know, for sure when it starts, you know, there's a lot of reliance on, like, cultural values and norms from the, if you will, parent culture. But then as time progresses, the new place develops its own values and its own ideas of self. And I feel like if you take that idea, that pattern, and apply it to how the Elder Things came to Earth and then developed their own culture here with the Shoggoths and the and everything, that they, you know, maybe that was what happened, is that they just shifted.
Yeah.
And 300 years ago, people in the United States would have been very shocked with the way that our culture has gone, where we have women and people of color voting and value all sorts of things that they didn't value at all.
Oh, yeah.
Including our own government.
I was going to say Netflix. The Elder Things.
Yeah, Elder Things.
Also known as the Old Ones and the Elder Ones, are fictional extraterrestrials in the Cthulhu mythos. Created by H.P. Lovecraft and first appearing in At the Mountains of Madness, And then also later appearing in Dreams in the Witch House, just as a little bit of ornamentation on a rail, which Gilman snaps off and then holds on to proof that he was there. And also a quick reference in The Shadow Out of Time. But yeah, Elder Things.
In the Cthulhu mythos, the Elder Things were the first extraterrestrial species to come to the Earth, colonizing the planet about 1 billion years ago. They stood roughly 8 feet tall and had the appearance of a huge oval-shaped barrel with starfish-like appendages at both ends. The top appendage was a head adorned with 5 eyes, 5 eating tubes, and a set of cilia for seeing without light. The bottom appendage was 5-limbed and was used for walking and other forms of locomotion. The beings also had 5 leathery, fan-like, retractable wings and 5 sets of branching tentacles that sprouted from their torsos. Both their tentacles and the slits housing their folded wings were spaced at regular intervals about their bodies.
Lovecraft described the Elder Things as vegetable-like or echinoderm-like in shape, having radial symmetry instead of the bilateral symmetry of bipeds. They also differed in that they had a 5-lobed brain. The Elder Things exhibited vegetable as well as animal characteristics, and in terms of reproduction, multiplied using spores, although they discouraged increasing their numbers except when colonizing new regions. Though they could make use of both organic and inorganic substances, the Elder Things were carnivorous by preference. They also were amphibious.
The bodies of the Elder Things were incredibly tough, capable of withstanding the pressures of the deepest ocean. Few died except by accident or violence. The beings were also capable of hibernating for vast epochs of time. Nevertheless, unlike many other beings of the mythos, the Elder Things were made of normal terrestrial matter.
The technology that the Elder Things possessed was not described at length, but was described as being extremely advanced. They are also revealed in the Mountains of Madness as being the creators of a Sevitur race, the Shoggoths, or Shoggoths.
Because they reproduced through spores, there was little biological basis for families to form, and were thus grouped together with others with whom they would get along. Eldarian families lived in large dwellings where furniture and other decoration was placed in the center of the rooms to leave the walls open for these very incredibly illuminating murals.
Lighting, in the case of the land inhabitants, was accomplished by a device probably electrochemical in nature. Both on land and underwater, they used curious tables, chairs, and couches like cylindrical frames, for they rested and slept upright with folded down tentacles and racks for hinged sets of dotted surfaces forming their books.
Government was evidently complex and probably socialistic, though no certainties in this regard could be deduced from the sculptures we saw. There was extensive commerce, both local and between different cities. Certain small, flat counters, 5-pointed and inscribed, serving as money. Probably the smaller of the various greenish soapstones found by our expedition were pieces of such currency. HPL at the Mountains of Madness.
Though the culture was mainly urban, some agriculture and much stock raising existed. Mining and a limited amount of manufacturing were also practiced. Travel was very frequent, but permanent migrations seemed relatively rare, except for the vast colonization movements by which the race expanded. For personal locomotion, no external aid was used, since in land, air, and water movement alike, the old ones seemed to possess excessively vast capacities for speed. Loads, however, were drawn by the beasts of burden, Shoggoths under the sea, and a curious variety of primitive vertebrates in the later years for land existence. In the Dreams of the Witch House, the central character is seen through a dimensional portal. In Dreams in the Witch House, the central character is sent through a dimensional portal to a planet in a triple star system with a yellow, red, and blue star, located between Hydra and Arago Navis, and populated by the Elder Things.
On Earth, the Elder Things built huge cities, both underwater and on dry land. They may be responsible for the appearance of the first life forms on Earth, including the entity known as
Ubo Sothla.
Okay. Including the entity known as Ubo Sothla, although sources differ in this regard. They created the Shoggoths to be their all-purpose slave race. Eventually, however, the Shoggoths rebelled, an event that hastened the decline and ultimate collapse of their civilization. Although the Elder Things managed to initially subdue the Shoggoths after their attempted rebellion, the Shoggoths continued to improve physiologically, increasing in intelligence and developing the capacity to live on land.
The Elder Things are known to have warred against the Star Spawn of Cthulhu and the Great Race of Yith and the Migo. Despite these conflicts, it was the gradual cooling of the planet during the last ice age that spelled their doom. Retreating to their undersea cities deep in the ocean, they would thereafter have no further dealings with the outer world. Their last surface city, located on a high plateau in the Antarctic, remains frozen in ice. The ruins of this city were discovered in 1931 by two members of an Antarctic expedition from Miskatonic University.
The last known and most significant undersea city, located directly beneath the Elder Things' ultimate surface city in the Antarctic, was apparently overrun by the Shoggoths. Four of a group of eight Elder Things unearthed by other members of the Miskatonic expedition, which were still alive despite the millions of years that had passed, and which were described in the story At the Mountains of Madness as being survivors from an early age of the species' civilization, were killed by a Shoggoth while attempting to find a means to enter the subterranean ocean in the Antarctic, apparently unaware of the collapse of their kin city. Not named, but implied by description, the Elder Things appeared in The Dreams in the Witch House.
Yes.
Yeah.
As decoration.
As decoration.
On a rail.
I mean, that's how I want to appear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty cool to have your cameo just be like, oh, yeah, no, we're so awesome. We're used as decoration in this place where you got to sign your name into a book with Nyarlathotep.
Oh, Jesus Christ. So, okay, so I have a question for you.
Yeah.
What do you think is going on with the rest of the Elder Things in the whole world, like in the whole universe? Because the ones here on Earth came here a billion years ago, which I feel like is too soon. But
no, they came while the Earth was, devoid of life.
Yeah, but I think a billion years ago we had life on Earth.
Well, they didn't know that when that was written.
1931. So.
Yeah.
Just didn't know. But so that's what I mean by too short.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway,
mm-hmm.
So they came here from somewhere else,
yes.
And that there's a vast bunch of them out there, and they came here to be able to spore all they wanted and create more of themselves. So, like, what are the rest of them doing? Why didn't they come to rescue their spawn from...
Maybe these Elder Things were like puritanical assholes that they're like, you know what? Yeah, no, you go to your solar system over there. Have fun.
You be like, we just want to sit around all day and create a slave race.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Go do it. Get out of our hair.
Yeah. No, and the other Elder Things are like, we're too awesome.
Yeah, we just want to work all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We just want to create stuff.
Maybe.
Yeah. We just want to create epic murals.
I mean, maybe it was an artist colony that came to Earth.
Yeah?
Yeah, like an artist colony that came here and was like, you know, we're going to preserve everything in murals and we're going to, like, write epic poems into these bumpy books and we're going to, you know... Like, we're going to create some things that are going to do all the work so that we don't have to do that. We can, like, really live a life of creativity and imagination and intellect.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe they wanted to make the Earth an entire ivory tower.
Hmm. Or maybe Earth or our chunk of the galaxy is to the great old ones, the Elder Things, the Yithians, the Migo. Maybe it's like I'm trying to think of what that whole the Caribbean, the Caribbean,
uh-huh.
like
how all it's, those colonies,
all
and
those
islands,
colonies and islands
countries that
and
were
stuff like that, and then you have
sugar.
Yeah, there's something about Earth that it's like there's something that's there.
Oh yeah, like maybe because it's extra fertile or something.
Who knows? But
yeah.
There's something about Earth that they're all like, oh, we totally got to go there and we got to fight over it.
Mm-hmm.
And like mm-hmm. the first people there are like, well, we're not going to do the work. We got to create slaves to do the work.
Right.
And then the slaves rebel. And then everyone else is showing up and stuff. And then the Elder Things are like, we're going to go hide. We're going to go hide in subterranean oceans.
Yeah.
And die off.
Maybe.
I don't know either.
I mean, when you're an amphibious race, I feel like it implies that, sure, you can live as equally happily in the ocean or the land, but I feel like what I'd really want to do is half and half, so the seashore.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Like the deep ones.
Well, like, that's what frogs do.
The Mirin Agree.
And the Mirin Agree.
Well, Sean Erfan's
you know,
servitor
oh, yeah.
race.
Yeah.
The Mirin Agree that then evolved into the Cho-Cho.
Oh, yeah. Right. We read about those a couple of episodes ago.
Yeah.
So one of the things that's been something I've been thinking about lately is that there's a theory that one of the reasons that life developed here on Earth is because our giant moon moves the water, our surface water, around so much that it creates all these zones of agitation where different chemicals are interacting all of the time. And
In different ways.
Ooh. And that's why single-celled organisms developed. And then once single-celled organisms developed, it was not inevitable that multicellular ones did, but they did. And
they did.
Then
wow.
once they did, it was just going to be like more and more, more and more and more. Yeah.
Man, good thing those Elder Things created those single-celled organisms for us.
I mean, that's where HP was going with this. But what my point is that maybe the reason everybody comes to Earth is because we've got a giant moon. It's like we're really well endowed in the moon section.
Yeah. And
we do have the biggest moon per planet in our solar system.
Sure.
You know. Yeah.
It's like two places for the price of one.
Yeah, I mean, that's certainly part of it.
They can totally mine the moon and the Earth. That's great.
No, what I mean is that it's like long hair doesn't make you a fun person to hang out with, but it doesn't make it nice to look at.
Yeah.
Maybe. So, like, the moon isn't necessarily a resource, but it makes the Earth a better place to live. We
gotcha.
Cut that part out.
I don't know. Maybe the moon's like a water feature, and they're like, ooh, it's got a giant moon. Not a bunch of tiny small ones, but like one big giant one.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, because it totally is this theory that about the way that the moon moves the water around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway.
I think that's interesting.
All right.
If you're someone who follows PGTTCM on social media, you'll know one thing. DB Spitzer, that is me, has been playing some Fallout 76 in the beta testing, which is available for, or was available for all kinds of folk who got the game early or got an invite or all kinds of stuff like that. Anyway, I got to play it most of the days that the beta was available, and I had a lot of fun. It was a fun game to solo or team up with people. I think it's only allowing like 12 to 20 people per server. It's really spread out. The video game is about five times larger than Skyrim surface area. That has nothing to do with all the mines and buildings that go upwards. If you've played Fallout 4, which I recommend that you do if you're someone who likes video games, you'll enjoy this. If you like role-playing games, this is a fun game to role-play. If you like massive multiplayer games, I don't know if you'll like this or not. The last multiplayer
online game that I played was, let's see, EverQuest. And before that was Ultima Online, and before that it was a MUD on a dial-up modem. So, hey, that's how old I am. but I was really young. Anyway, back to Fallout 76. It is a beautiful, beautiful game. Wandering around the hills of West Virginia in five kind of distinct biomes. And some are like super, super toxic. Some are just beautiful. Some are just like very not good for you in general. Some are teeming with wildlife. And further you get away from the start point, the harder it gets. And I guess things kind of rubber band and level based off what level you are. And yeah, it's interesting. It's very interesting. Things were respawning way too fast because you'd have one person working on something and then just like someone else runs into the area. So, but it's a different build, and I'm sure on release date it'll be an even different build. I heard from some folks that played the game in West Virginia at a hotel that's featured in the game. They had a bunch of journalists from all over the world, gamers, I think some mixed martial arts experts, and folks like that just, you know, out there to get the game brand going and people knowing what's going on. Anyway, I heard that build was complete garbage, but everyone was excited to play Fallout 76, so hey. Anyway, so yeah, it's interesting. There's all kinds of different types of quests. There's daily quests, there's side quests, there's main quests, and there's, yeah, it's really fun. I'm looking forward to tomorrow for it to come out. I'm going to play it before I go to work and hopefully not miss work. So I'm going to have to like start getting on a better sleep schedule so I can play more Fallout 76. And yeah, if, you know, it's built a backlog of readings up so that people can listen to the readings. And also, yeah, I wrote a whole bunch of scripts at once. So hey, you know, I'm doing my due diligence so I can play some Fallout 76. So if people don't know, it's a post-apocalyptic game, and you are one of America's best and brightest who is chosen to go to a vault that is the Tricentennial of America vault, because the bombs fall in 2077 in late October. I think October 24th or 27th. I'm not sure. I'm sure there's Fallout fans who are like, I'm a huge Fallout fan too. I just, you know, don't have that information in front of me right now. Anyhow, so best and the brightest, and then the you know, you get to be let out for Reclamation Day to reclaim the hills of West Virginia and bring, I don't know, some, you know, hope for humanity. Hey, all right. So yeah, and then you find out there's some weird stuff going on and some bad stuff happened, and your job is to figure out what's going on. Actually, your job is to explore West Virginia and have fun. You can do quests, you can start attacking other people, you can just explore. I did a lot of exploring. I played some of the quests, I teamed up with people, I had a lot of fun. I explored a water park that was way too high of a level for me. I got killed by Mirelurk hunters, which are basically giant lobsters. I got killed, I accidentally fell off cliffs, bridges, exploring, falling into deep places, running from giant monsters. At one point in time, I built myself a little fort and put a bunch of machine gun turrets on top of it so that if someone, and then built all my stuff where I repair my gear and sleep and all that fun stuff on top of my fort. So if anyone runs in, they get shot by machine guns. And if anyone's snooping around, they get shot by machine guns. Anyway, I saw this flare and I was like, oh, what's that? And then there's this guy who's like fighting ghouls, and I accidentally hit him, and I'm like, oh, I'm sorry about that. And then he starts just shooting at me and then chasing me through the woods, shooting at me. But he doesn't realize that I just built my fort. So I go up on my fort and stand there, and my machine guns mow him down. And then he respawns and he comes back, and my machine guns mow him down. And then he comes back, and I'm like deciding to take a nap, and I'm just laying there. So he keeps respawning, and my machine guns keep shooting him down. And then he walks up to me while I'm sleeping in my sleeping bag and shoots me a whole bunch and becomes a bad guy and gets a bounty on his head for 9 caps. Ooh, because I'm not very important. Anyway, then I just blocked him and didn't have to worry about him. And that's cool. You can just block people and fall out if they're being jerks. So yeah, Fallout 76, I highly recommend it. It's available on Xbox first, and then PC and PS4, which I'm playing it on PS4. And if you ever want to team up with me, I am PGTTCM on PlayStation 4. So yeah. All right. Back to the show. One more thing. If you find me out in the wastelands, you'll probably hear this song.
Country girls drive my boat to a place with a moat. West Virginia mutants will get you, steal your goat, and sink your boat.
So yeah, look forward to that.
Okay, so, well, it's been great to be back,
yay,
everyone. I've been having fun recording today, and yeah, we'll get 807 to you as fast as possible.
Yeah, I think I have time to record on Thursday.
Cool. All right, so remember to keep it weird.
Stay squiggly.
And we'll see you next time. Thank you so much for listening to PGTDCM.
Yeah, well, definitely Netflix.
Sorry.
I mean, do you remember when Netflix came out and it was like, you get DVDs in the mail?
You get some discs in the mail and hope they don't break. And
yeah, and then I remember going like, why wouldn't you want to just go for a walk?